Hey, I wonder, are you feeling drained or burned out? A lot of people are. And if life has left you feeling empty, you're in the right place today. Welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Well, we're starting a new exciting series called Running on Empty, where Rick Warren shares how faith can refresh your spirit, restore your strength, and bring new energy to your life. So please don't miss this inspiring new message of renewal and hope. And now, here's Rick with part one of a message called Lightening Your Load.
A number of years ago, I borrowed a vacation trailer from somebody here in the church and decided to take my family on a family vacation up to Tahoe. So I hooked this rather large vacation trailer up to my car. I had never done this before, and we headed out north. Now, I didn't stop to consider that the more weight I was carrying, the fewer miles per gallon I was going to get. So as I was driving through L.A. and the gas tank said half empty, I thought, well, that's no big deal. This is a big tank. And we started heading up the mountains into the Grapevine. And as we were going up those mountains, all of a sudden we had this big heavy headwind coming against. And I started watching my gas gauge just go like this. And of course, on the Grapevine up in the mountains, there's no off ramp. You can't turn around. There are no gas stations. You just have to keep going straight up the hill. And about 20 minutes before it happened, I said, we're going to run out of gas, because I could see it going down. And sure enough, we did. And I pulled the car over to the side of the road and hitchhiked my way up to Gorman. Got some gas, ran across the freeway, came back down the other side, jumped across the median divide, ran across, filled the tank. I'm still alive, as you can see. And we went on up the hill, and I refueled. The point is, the heavier the load you're carrying, the faster you run out of gas. Today in this series that we're doing on running on empty, I want us to look at this issue of lightening your load. Now, some of you are really on overload. I have no doubt about it. You're overloaded physically. You're overloaded emotionally. Some of you are overloaded relationally. You're overloaded with work you got at school or work you've got at work or kids or health issues, finances, all these different things, and they load you down. And you'll be relating to this letter that I received. Dear Pastor Rick, I can't remember the last time I felt refreshed and rested. My life has been on overload for years. There are too many expectations, too many responsibilities, too many activities, and too many decisions. And it all just seems like it has to be done immediately. I often feel like I'm putting my finger in the holes of a dam, but I don't have enough fingers to stop all the leaks. I'm tired of always rushing to the next activity. Even after a night's sleep, I still feel drained and fatigued. But when I look around, I see that this feeling is not unique. Everybody's overloaded. Nobody has any margin in their lives. Everybody's trying to do so much. We don't have time to do what's most important because every moment is packed. This is madness. It can't be God's will for our lives. I really want to learn how to rest and relax in God's plan. Not just for my own health, but because I can see how my kids are learning the same crazy lifestyle. You know, when I read that last sentence, it began to haunt me because we're doing this series for two reasons. I'm doing this series because first, I want you to be healthy. Healthy spiritually, healthy relationally, healthy financially, healthy emotionally, healthy in every area, physically in every area, all combined. And that's why we take time to do this, because I care about you as your pastor. But I also care about the next generation. And when she said, not just for my own sake, but because I can see how my kids are learning the same crazy lifestyle, I began to think about how kids are growing up with way too much stress. Do you agree with that? Kids are learning to be workaholics at an early age. We are not modeling for our kids balance and health. And children are dying for healthy models. And kids are growing up learning to be stressed out and overloaded and running on empty at younger and younger ages. Now, in the Bible, there was a guy who really understood overload, and his name was Job. There on your outline, the top verse, Job says it this about his life. If my misery could be weighed, if my load, the burden that I'm carrying, if my misery could be weighed, and if you could pile the whole bitter load on the scales, it would be heavier than all the sand of the sea. Is it any wonder I'm screaming like a caged cat? That guy is on overload. That guy is burning out. That guy is running on empty. Now, Jesus summarizes the secrets of stress management in three simple sentences. And we're going to look at those sentences today. And this is, honestly, friends, all you need to know about stress management. All of the books, seminars, tapes, conferences, pills, etc., cannot equal to the three statements of strategy for reducing stress that Jesus Christ gives. And I'm really glad you came to church for part two of this series, because if you get what we're going to talk about today, it's going to change your life. The amount of stress in your life will not go down, but what's going to go up is it's not going to bother you. It's just not going to bother. I can't control the circumstances that are going to happen in your life this week. There are stresses in life. But you don't have to be stressed out by it. You don't have to be overloaded by it. I carry an enormous amount of responsibility, but I don't get stressed out about it because I don't carry it. It's actually God carrying it in my life. And so you can learn these three principles, these three essentials that Jesus summarizes in these verses. And if you do them, I believe this could be the turning point in your life in dealing with stress, worry, tension, and the problems that you carry in life. Now, here's what Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. There on your outline. Come to me, all of you who are tired from heavy carrying heavy loads, and I will give you more to do. Oh, no, that's not what it says, is it? I will give you what? I can't hear you. What? Rest, yeah. Come to me, all of you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I, Jesus, will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. That's soul rest. For the yoke I will give you is easy, and the load I will put on you is light. Now, there are three important words. I want you to circle these words. Come, take, and learn. Come, take, and learn. These are the three principles of stress management that will change your life if you understand them and you apply them in your life. Come, take, and learn. Now, the first one Jesus says is this. Come to me. So here's the first point if you're taking notes. You want to lower the stress in your life. You want to reduce the overload. Number one, come to Jesus. That's the starting point. Come to Jesus. Turn to him. This is the very first step. Now in the Bible, people come to Jesus for lots of different reasons. People come to Jesus to ask him a question. People come to Jesus in the Bible to be healed. People come to Jesus because they're upset. They've got a conflict. They have a problem. They have they want advice. They want eternal life. But Jesus says, did you know that you can come to me for rest? I bet you've never thought of that. You probably come to Jesus for answers to your prayers. You come to Jesus for encouragement. You come to Jesus for a lot of... Jesus says, come to me for rest. And it's a special kind of rest. He says, this is rest for your soul. It's soul rest. That is the deepest kind of rest that you need. You can't make it in life without soul rest. You're going to go nuts. You're going to fall apart. You're going to throw in the towel. Your soul has to have rest. This is much, much deeper than physical rest. You see, the biggest source of your stress is not worn out muscles. In fact, many of you need to exercise your muscles more. You're flabby. So the issue is not tired muscles that causes your stress. The issue is a tired mind. It's tension, it's worry, it's fear, it's anxiety, it's guilt, it's resentment, it's problems that you're thinking about over and over in your mind. And that's what you need relief from. Now, let me ask you a very personal question. How do you normally, typically, unwind? When you're stressed out, how do you typically unwind? You de-stress yourself when you're exhausted and you're overloaded. What is your first choice? Some of you say, let's go to a movie. Some say, let's go out to dinner. I don't want to cook tonight. Some say, I have a hobby. Or you might have a sport that you like to do. Or you have some kind of recreation. Or you have some kind of form of relaxation. Or you say, I'm going to take a nap. Or, you know, any of these different things. Now, they're all good. There's nothing wrong with any of those things I just said. But they will never give you rest for your soul. You can take all the naps in the world, and it's not going to de-stress you in the soul region. It'll rest your body, but it won't rest your spirit, your soul. None of those can rest your soul. There's only one thing that can rest your soul, God. God can rest your soul. He can give you that inner peace that de-stresses you. And the Bible says this. Look at the next verse on your outline, Isaiah chapter 40. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. Now circle the phrase, wait on the Lord. The antidote to your overloaded soul is to wait on the Lord. Now, what does that mean? He's saying that if you're stressed out, the answer is not a plan, a purpose, a priority, a program, a philosophy, a pill. It's a person. The antidote to your stress is not a plan for time management. The antidote to your stress is not a program for stress relief. The antidote to your stress is not a pill for anxiety. It's not a philosophy. It is a person. Jesus says, come to me. He says, come to me. It's a person. He doesn't even say, come to church. He doesn't say, come to Bible study. He doesn't say, come to small group. When you are overloaded, the starting point, there's only one person in the universe who understands soul rest. It's God. He says, you come to me. Now, what does that mean? It means that when what you really need more than anything else when you are overloaded is you need more time with God alone. I don't know when was the last time you spent time with God alone. But it says those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? It means you just be quiet and sit there alone with God. You're not reading the Bible. You're not praying. You're not letting God talk to you through the Bible. You're talking to God through prayer. You're just sitting there. What I often like to do this outside, but when it's raining, I'll just sit down in a lazy boy chair. But I like to go out and I sit down and I don't say anything but one sentence. I say, God, is there anything you want to say to me? And then I just shut up. And I sit there for 10, 15 minutes, and I just sit, and I be quiet. I'm not trying to sing anything, say anything, sign anything, read anything, pray anything. I just sit there. I'm waiting before the Lord. God, is there anything you want to say to me today? I just sit there. Many, if not most of the time, I don't have any big flash of lightning. No big brilliant thought, no idea. I've never heard God specifically say something aloud to me. He doesn't need to. He puts thoughts in your minds. When God puts thoughts in your minds, it's called inspiration. When the devil puts thoughts in your mind, it's called temptation. And every day you're choosing one or the other on those thoughts. You have thoughts, God has thoughts, Satan has thoughts, and they all come into your mind at different times. And so I just sit there, but sometimes I'm just sitting there and a thought will come to my mind. And I know that God has spoken to me in that moment. How? Well, I check it out with the Bible. Now, you ought to read your Bible, and you ought to pray. That's talking to God and letting Him talk to you. But this is waiting for the Lord. It's just being quiet. Most people don't know how to be quiet. They always have to have the radio on. They always have to have the television on. They always have to, in fact, they get nervous. If I were to stop right now and say nothing for 5 minutes, some of you would start to get really nervous. And if we were sitting here in total silence and somebody walked into this room, they'd go, "What do these people know that I don't know?" We don't handle silence very well today. There's lots of kinds of pollution. There's air pollution, but there's also noise pollution. He's saying, be silent before God. Come to Jesus. Now, how do you do that? Well, look at the next verse. Jesus says this. I love this in the Message paraphrase, Matthew 6:6. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. You know, when you pray in front of other people, sometimes you're wondering, I wonder what they're thinking of my prayer. Are they rating it 9.9, 2.3? You know, oh yeah, that's a good one, you know? No, find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and as honest as you can manage. And the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. Some of you have never done this. Others of you, you haven't done it in weeks or months. And that's why you're overloaded. You need to spend time alone with God in silence, then pray and read some of the Bible. Now, when you're overloaded, the most important book in the Bible for you to be reading is the book of Philippians. Philippians is the book about joy. It's the book on how to have joy in the middle of problems and pain and pressure and stress and strife and struggles. Now, why don't we listen to Jesus more often? Why don't we turn to Him? Why don't we come to Him? I mean, we usually come to everything else. Even if you're a believer, your first choice when you're stressed out isn't quiet time alone with God. I just guarantee you, it's not. It's one of those other things I mentioned. Well, a lot of times we just think we can handle it on our own. And other times, we just don't realize that God is waiting for us to call on Him. Over and over in the Bible, God tells us, cry out to me. Call out to me, talk to me, cast your burdens on the Lord, bring them to me, cry out to God. Look at the next verse. The Bible says the spirit that God has given you does not make you slaves. You don't have to be afraid of God like a master, cause you to be afraid. Instead, the spirit makes you God's children. Now, when my children come to me, I want to see them. I want to be with them. It says, and by the Spirit's power, we cry out to God, Father, my Father. If you're running on empty this weekend, the first thing you need to do, very first thing, is cry out to God. And here's the second step. This one's a little harder. Give up control. Come to Jesus, step one. Give up control, step two. Now, that's so important because the reason why you're on overload is you are trying to control too much. You think it all depends on you. If it's to be, it's up to me. I got to hold it all together. I got to make it all work. Friend, you are not the general manager of the universe. You can resign and it won't fall apart. Here's a little test. Get a bucket of water. Put your hand into it. Pull it out and see what kind of hole you leave. That's profound, I know. I'm sure it is. The greater your need to control, the more stressed you're going to be in life. Let me say that one again. The greater your need to control, the more stressed you're going to be in life. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, I'm not a high control person. I married one, but I'm not a high control person. I am a pastor who dealt with tens of thousands of people. Everybody is a high control person, just in different ways. Some people are very overt and obvious about their need to control. They go around bossing everybody around. You do this, you do that, and the world would be great if you just do what I tell you to do. And maybe you're not that overt, but everybody wants control. I've never met anybody who doesn't want to control their own life in their own way. You just do it in sneakier ways. You do it in ways that aren't so obvious, that aren't so blatant, but you are a high control person. Trust me on this. You say, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. Trust me. You are a high control person. You just do it in ways other people don't see it, and maybe you don't even see it. But everybody wants control. Now, here's Jesus' second solution. First, he says, come to me, those of you who are tired from heavy loads, and I'll give you rest. Then he says, number two, take my yoke upon you. You say, wait a minute. That doesn't sound too relaxing. He says, take something else on. That sounds like a burden. I don't need to take any more on. I need to take it off. This does not sound like a good solution here. I'm already carrying way too much, and now Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. That sounds like I'm going to get more burden, more overload, more pressure. Well, that means you don't understand what a yoke is and what it's for. What is a yoke? It's not the yellow part of an egg. Most of you did not grow up on farms, so you've never even seen a yoke. A yoke is a single piece of wood that brings two farm animals together so that they carry the load together, so the load is shared, so the load is lighter. A yoke is not a harness. A harness you put on one cow or one horse or one camel or elephant or whatever. And they have to pull the whole load. They pull the entire cart with a harness. In a yoke, you team up two or more together, so the load is halved, it is lightened, and the purpose is to make it easier on the animal, not harder. It is sharing the load together. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us today and listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. You know, your prayers and financial support are having a huge impact on millions of people here and around the world. So thank you. Thank you so much. And now Rick's going to share a letter from one of our listeners who says Daily Hope is making a real difference in their life.
Your generous prayers and support help us teach God's word to people all around the world who've never heard about the hope in Jesus Christ. And God is using your prayers and your gifts to help us reach people who would never set foot inside the door of a church. Here's a letter from Cheryl who said, Pastor Rick, your obedience in teaching God's word brings blessings of hope in my life every day through your daily email devotional. Through your teaching, God is continually changing my thinking and aligning my heart with his word, which brings hope and happiness to my life and positive thoughts for a great future. Please pray that I'll keep the fight to keep the enemy from stealing the truth from me. I can now see why staying in God's word every day is so important. I want to pray for Cheryl right now. Cheryl, let me pray for you. Father, together we join in praying for Cheryl right now, and I ask that your word will grow deep in her heart and in the hearts of everyone else who's listening right now. Plant it like a seed in fertile soil, and then make it grow. And let the weeds of temptation not choke it out. Help her and help all of us to stand firm in your truth. And Father, I pray for everyone who hears this message today. I pray for every listener of Daily Hope. And I ask that you strengthen them to be obedient to your word, to see your purpose, and to depend on your power, trusting, Jesus, that you'll help them through no matter what they face. And I ask this prayer, and I pray this blessing in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hey, you know, a great way to stay in God's Word every day is to sign up for the free Daily Hope devotional. And it's so easy. Just go to PastorRick.com and sign up today. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.